Blog Talk Radio.
Reef, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to get you to understand, most importantly, you have relationships with people you should be having relationships with. You have a relationship with your enemies. You trust your enemies, no matter what they say about anything they say. You have a relationship with your enemies. But what Contrell and I are trying to impact upon you is why not have a relationship with your Almighty, your Creator? Why not have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why not trust in Him above everything and everyone? Why not have a relationship with one another, even those that may remotely look like you? Why not have a constructive and positive relationship with them? Because you seem to have a relationship with people, but you don't seem to have the right kind of relationship. Why? I understand. because you don't understand. You've never been taught about relationships. That life is all about constructive and positive relationships. Most importantly, with your Creator. Secondarily, with each other. And juxtaposition with that, with strangers, different nations. And also with this earth that we are responsible for. Because Adam was given the responsibility to take care of Eden. And also, we should have a relationship with animals, which we don't have a relationship with. We're not even concerned in the least bit about the phosphates they're putting into the water in Florida. Not even the least bit, which is killing the sea animals. We're too much worried about the wrong thing, so to speak. And that's what Cartrell feared. And I feel that it's important to get you to understand about relationships. Because the bottom line, and truth be told, it's all about relationships. Our history didn't start in this captivity. Our history started way before this. And we're here to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt how that relationship, which was negative based upon our own action, put us in the situation we're in, is negative based upon our own action that keeps us the way we are in our relationship with the Creator, in our relationship with one another, in our relationship with strangers, different nations. It's all about relationship, brothers and sisters. What kind of relationship do you have? Do you understand the components of the perimeters in a relationship? The importance of a relationship. Relationships are so important to the Creator. He says in the book of Proverbs, don't even put away your father's friend. That's how I think I value relationships. If he's your father's friend, don't even put him away. Well, he's old. Well, he's here. He can help you. She can help you. Because we have been inundated with this Western culture, this Western hemisphere. We don't have any idea whatsoever about the importance of relationships with the Creator, with each other, and with strangers. And that's one of the primary reasons Cartrell and I bring forth the Real Talk for Real People show, to show you the importance of relationships. But before we get started, you know, I always like to make comments about contemporary subject matters. And I just want to say one thing. You know, I watch these so-called leaders in this nation. They're like some crazy-ass little children. You know, if they don't want to take the vaccine, that's their prerogative. I ain't mad at them. But put on a damn face mask. Only thing they say, no, 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 no. Just like a little child. They're like my little child cheating when they were little girls. My little girl. What you say, girl? They only said that one time. Because daddy didn't take no mess. When I tell you do something, you better get right up on it. Don't tell me no. You'll feel the pain. But I didn't have to whip my children too much because I had that daddy look. You fathers out there, you know what I'm talking about. You got that rough voice and you got that daddy look. You didn't have to say very much, especially when it comes to girl children. You know. But these people here, man, something wrong with them. Their thinkers are broken. They want to show up, show out, and showboat. And don't have anything pertinent to say. If you're not going to take the COVID-19, I ain't mad at you. You know, I'm super ain't taking it nicer. But I have a responsibility to the community. I wear a face mask. I wash up. I social distance. I have a moral obligation and duty to do the best I can with what I got. And look out for the inch. It ain't all about Yom Suf. Yom Suf ain't nothing special. And they certainly are not anything special. Well, yeah, they something special. Not like they think they are. Oh, yeah, they something special. But not like they think they are. It's true. That's all I got to say on my commentary. I'm going to bring my dear brother and friend on Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much. I'm very appreciative, brother. May he bless you and your family also.
Thank you. How's your mom?
Thank you. Mom's doing okay, man. Mom's, I was talking to one of my brothers. We got to get her some hearing aid and whatnot. You know, she's 90 years old, and we got to get her hearing aids. You know, I went by, I think, week before last, Scottrail, that weekend, and put something in her pocket. She likes the gift that keeps on giving. That's when you can spend it. So I put something in her pocket, you know, because she likes the gift that keeps on giving. She looked rather well, and I hugged and kissed her, Mom. But she know I don't stay by long. I said, talk for a few minutes, and I got on down the road because I got to look out for her, you know, I sort of make sure I look out for her interests, you know, try to wear my mask and try to make sure she's okay. And, you know, I have a more obligation and duty to look out for her and anybody else for that matter. So I try to stay isolated in a sense. So I don't get anybody ill or they don't get me ill and whatnot, you know. So I did go by, I think, last weekend or week before that. Some country I can't rightly remember, but I went by to check on and whatnot. But she's doing rather well. She looked rather good.
Yeah, your mother and my mother's about the same generation. They're about the same age. My mother passed, though. She would have been 90. My mother would have been 90.
How old was your mother when she passed?
She passed about maybe 7 years ago.
Yeah, she lived a ripe old age, what, in her 80s?
Yeah.
She lived a long time, Katya, in her 80s.
Yeah.
Good ripe old age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You started out talking about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships are very important, like you expounded upon.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the key foundations of relationships is trust.
Right.
And we don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't trust the Most High God. He don't trust us.
Well, I think, to be honest about that, I think Abby and I was having that conversation today. And we were talking about you, where I was, rather. I said, that's why Cartrell trusts me and that's why he's more open with me, I suspect, than other people, because he feared I won't put a knife. I'm talking about you. That's what I said about you. I said, he feared I won't put a knife in his back. So we have a much more open and constructive and productive relationship. And I said in regards to Gregory, and I said, that's why Gregory feels that he's part of the crowd, because he have a much more trust relationship with us, Coattail and Sue. So he feels part of the group too. He feels that trust and relationship. So, you know, you see what I'm saying, Kaja? You feel what I'm talking about?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
In order for it to be trust, you have to make yourself trustworthy.
Exactly. Bingo.
And, we can't trust our enemy. We can't trust this nation. We can't trust their leaders because they have a track record of not being able to be trusted.
That's just the way it is.
They're not trustworthy to me.
But somehow some of us lie to ourselves and each other, and we just ignore the track record. And we just want to believe. Irregardless of the track record, irregardless of Tuskegee, irregardless of the Tulsa, Oklahoma, irregardless of taking their so-called vote and twisting it up and throwing it back in your face. We just want to believe so bad. You know, it's just like this song, Katya, we used to listen to back in the day, what the point of something? You got to believe in something. Why don't you believe in me? They just want to believe in something, Contrail, but they believing in the wrong thing, bro.
We should really be believing in ourselves.
Exactly.
We have talents and gifts and abilities, God-given, where we can take care of ourselves. We don't need anybody. But that track record is still being written, bro. As we speak.
Right.
It hasn't stopped. So we just keep adding to the track record.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a quandary because the most I got them with this pandemic, they don't know what to do. They're telling you one thing one day, the next day they tell you another thing, and they're telling you to get vaccine. People are getting vaccine and getting the disease, and they're saying the people that don't have disease is giving the people with disease. I don't understand that. How?
Right.
Okay. You didn't get the vaccine, but you don't have the disease. So how are you giving it to the people that hasn't been vaccinated? But that's how they divide people. Well, the people that's vaccinated against the people that's not vaccinated. Like you said, everybody has a right to choose whether you want to be vaccinated or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me what to put in my body.
Right.
So I trust Yah because he has a track record.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, God,
I pray that my relationship with him is strong.
Yeah, me and you both. You and I both. Well, if Contrail's done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're ready to move forward.
Yes,
to understand
sir.
About relationships. Okay. Will everybody please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Accepting Chronicles.
Oh, man, you know, I'm sorry. You know my thinker, bro. I ain't never said I was all my cylinders running at the same time. Sometimes my engine got to
that New Testament, man.
Yeah, sometimes my engine got to get warmed up in order for the engine to run proper. No, I ain't dipping in no New Testament.
And who was the Corinthians? And where are they today?
I don't know nothing about no credit. That's in Greece, I believe. Greek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like from the Greeks, the enemies. You know that.
Yeah, that's in Greece, Corinthians, I believe. When all the work that King Solomon undertook for the house of the Elohim was completed, King Solomon brought the things that his father, King David, had consecrated, the silver, gold, and the utensils, and deposit them in the treasury of the house of Yah. Then King Solomon convoked the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the princesses, and the ancestral princesses of the Israelites, of the ancestral houses, in Jerusalem. Why? To bring this is about relationships, about togetherness. To bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yah from the city of Dawood, that is Zion, Mount Zion, and all the men of Israel assembled before the king, all the men, in addition, assembled before the king at the feast in the seventh month, when all the elders of Israel had come, giving them their props. The Levites carried the Ark and was called upon, giving them their props. They brought up the ark and the tent of the tabernacle and the holy vessels that were in the tent. They brought up everything. The Levite priest brought them up. Meanwhile, King Solomon and the whole community of Israel who had gathered to him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen in such abundance that they could not be numbered or counted. It was so many. The priests brought the Ark of the Covenant to his place in the inner sanctuary of the house, the Holy of Holies, beneath the wings of the cherubims. Remember them big, tall, 15 feet tall guys. Beautiful. For the cherubim had their wings spread out over the place of the ark so that the cherubims covered the ark and his poles from above. They didn't remove the poles, the poles projected beyond the ark, and the ends of the poles were visible from the front of the inner sanctuary, but then they could not be seen from the outside. There they remained in place in that ark, the carrying poles, to that this day, that day, at that time, at the time of this writing. There was nothing inside the ark but the two tablets that Moses placed there at Horeb, Mount Horeb, when Yah made a covenant, a contract, a codification with the Israelites after their departure from Mizraim. When the priests came out of the sanctuary, all the priests present had sanctified themselves without keeping to set divisions. They weren't in their divisional. They had sanctified themselves without keeping in the Kohites, the Morites, Hites, and, you know, but according to their division and what they did. All the Levite singers, Heman, Jeduthun, their sons and brothers dressed for the occasion in fine linen, holding cymbals, harps, and lyres, were standing to the east of the altar. With them were 120 priests who blew trumpets. They had that. I mean, they had it going on. They had 120 additional who blew trumpets. The trumpeteers and the singers joined in unison. They had a band to praise and install the Elohim. As the sound of the trumpets, cymbals, and other musical instruments, and the praise of the Elohim, for he is good, for his steadfast love is eternal, grew louder, and the house of the Elohim was filled with a cloud. Yah sent the cloud down to show he was pleased and show that symbolically he was there. The priest couldn't, because you can't hold Yah anywhere, truth be told. The priest could not stay and perform the service because the cloud, remember back in the day, we had the cloud when we were traveling from Mizraim. We had the cloud. Now it's back. Because the cloud for the glory of Yah filled the house as representation of our relationships was solidified. And Yah was pleased with our actions at that time. So his presence was revealed by that cloud. That I am pleased with what y'all are doing. I'm happy. I'm content with the house you built me. Although no house can hold me. And so I am pleased. So I will show you a representation by this cloud being there. And then y'all came do y'all work because y'all's cloud. Y'all had to get up out of there. That's a good thing, Katria. What say you, my brother and friend?
Dang, never been no church service, no synagogue service, no camp service like this one, bro.
I don't think so, Katria. that they could even perform their Levitical duties. Man, we got to get out. I can't see nothing, man. I can't light no incense. I can't do no burnt offering. I can't even do no meal offering. I can't do no sheep. I can't do no goats. I can't do no oxen. I can't do anything because I can't see anything. So we got to get out of here, y'all. To the Most High Creator, get out. We got to get out the way. Go ahead, Kaji.
So by the presence of the Most High God,
yeah,
the true living God of the universe, no man can stand before him.
You can't stand before him.
Right. And it's the same thing that happened when they built the tabernacle the first time in the wilderness.
Exactly.
The presence of the Most High came down in a thick cloud. They had to get out.
Exactly. And so they had to get out too.
It shows the formula, right? They got all kinds of satellites and telescopes and spaceships trying to find God.
Right.
This is the formula right here. They built that temple. They sacrificed them lambs. They played mm-hmm. that music. And the Most High came down.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you got to imagine, these guys were dressed to the point. They were dressed to the nines. They had these trumpeters. They ain't talking about everybody blowing all raggedy music. These guys was hitting notes, and they was blowing it off the frame. 120 trumpeters. You know how we do it?
You know,
120, blowing it off the frame. And then you got the cymbals, the lyres, and the harps. Boy, they banging. And you got these guys, and they blowing everybody in unison. You know, I mean, it was groovy, man. It was groovy. You know, it was on point.
Better than Woodstock, bro.
Man, it was better than Woodstock. It was groovy, Cartier. It was on point. Okay?
But you could see that they was coordinated in unison. They had that trust. They had that intricate relationship with one another to where they knew what their job was, and nobody crossed lines. So it had to be the priest that brought the Ark of the Covenant to the city, out of the city of King David, to Jerusalem. Also, the cherubims,
right.
Most times you see how they depict cherubims, they're little baby angels with wings.
Mm-hmm.
But these cherubims were 15 feet, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the angelic cherubim are like giants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Why would they make them 15 feet?
Exactly.
But, yeah, man, we heard of Asaph and Heman. Yeah.
They were blowing it.
They could sing.
Yeah, they were blowing it. And you got to realize, these Levitical priests practice together every day. They practice. They practice their arts and skills. And so when they did public presentations, these brothers were off the chain. Okay?
Yeah. This is where you get church choirs.
Right.
And this is why they use the organ, because the organ sounds like a horn.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the root, it's the inception of giving praise in a spiritual setting.
Well, imagine, gosh, there are 120 trumpeters.
All in unison with the singing.
Can you imagine what that sound like, bro?
Yeah, in harmony with the voices.
Yeah.
The trumpets wasn't outdoing the voices. You talk about, you know how we do harmony. Send chills up and down your spine.
Yeah, wasn't nobody trying to usurp anybody, then you hear these harps, you hear these lyres, you hear these cymbals. Everybody making music, and they making it together. Praise y'all. Man, can you imagine? Man, ooh-wee.
Too bad they didn't have recording devices back then.
Because I sure wouldn't mind and listen to it right now, got you. All right. Well, I tell you what, tomorrow night, chapter 6 is rather long, so I'm not going to get into it tonight, but tomorrow night we're going to do chapter 6. I'm kind of dragging my feet in the book of Chronicles because I want you to get the best of all this, because we're going right back over with the prophets and whatnot. So I want you to get you're at the end of the road, so to speak, in your studies. You're at the end of the road in your studies. We've come a long way. We've come a long way. Contreras already did a do-over. Contreras already did a do-over in the studies. We come a long way. And, you know, you ought to applaud yourself. Don't have no parade now. Because you're going right back to your studies. But give yourself a hand for going this far with us. I mean, you've been through from Genesis all the way to Second Chronicles. Yeah. You've been through Genesis. You've been through Deuteronomy. You've been through Ruth. You've been through Joshua. You've been through all the prophets. You've been through, man, you ought to get yourself. Yeah. And ain't nobody ever took you through something like that. Some of you ain't never been through it like that. Never in your life have you been through it like that. And you ought to applaud yourself for doing it. And applaud yourself for going back to do a redundancy study. So it can become an innate part of your nature. So when people ask you something about relationship, as far as y'all is concerned, you have the answer. You might not know it right then, but you say, hey, let me get back with you on that. Because I know I didn't study that. You know, so I'm going to get back with you on it. I can't remember right now, but I'm going to get back with you because I know I didn't study that. So I'm going to get back with you on that, okay? Because you've been there. And that's the reason why, if you don't know anything in life or what you ought to know about life, you ought to know about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. If you don't know anything in life, you ought to know this about the Creator, the Almighty. I mean, you ought to know about your history. You ought to know how to treat your brothers and sisters. You ought to know how to treat different nations. Because as I said, our history didn't start in this incarceration. And that's why you don't know some things. That's why you don't know how to treat your brother and your sister. That's why you don't know how to treat the Almighty. That's why you don't know how to treat strangers, different nations. Because our history didn't start on these shores. Or wherever you may have been dropped off or what shores you're on. Our history didn't start just there. And so it's incumbent upon Cartrell and I to bring these studies to you so you can understand the dynamics of the relationship with the Creator and understand the dynamics of the relationship with each other and the dynamics of the relationship with strangers. All these are important, and all these are interconnected. And as we see, as this study we just saw, the elders were there. The princes of the tribe were there. The leaders of the ancestral houses were there. I mean, the Levitical priests were there. The singers were there. The music maker was there. Everybody was on point. And everybody was together because it shows the importance of relationships. And what happened? Everybody was in secret. Katya used that $10 word, synchronicity. I think that's how you said it. But he going to correct me.
Synchronicity.
And everybody was synchronized together. And what happened? The cloud came down. Yah came down. Y'all don't like us fighting one another. He don't like us talk about one another, backbiting, lying on one another. I don't know where y'all get this from. Y'all done got this in this Western Hemisphere. But if you did a study along with us, you would know this. And you stop doing what you're doing because you ain't going to get nowhere with it, okay? And you need to stop that. And Contreras said a key word, trustworthy. Prove yourself trustworthy. And how do you do that? Well, the Most High left blueprints in order for you to do that. In order for you to prove trustworthy with him, in order for you to prove trustworthy with one another and with strangers. It's all there. Contreras always said it's an open book test, baby. That's all it is, an open book test. And some of you have fell in that miserably. Contrary, my dear brother and friend, do you have a commentary? If not, we will go on right into the next segment of study. If you got commentary, we're going to hold the press. Go ahead, Contrary.
Well, he said it all. He said it all.
I said a little something. I don't know much of nothing. I just said a little something.
Nah, he said it all, man. He said a mouthful, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, correct.
I love you too, brother. Check this out, Cartrell.
Yes,
and
sir.
I think we're at Psalms 49.
Yep.
Yeah.
Psalm 49.
Okay.
Psalm 49 is a message to the world.
Right.
Not just to the nation of Israel. It's to everything that lives and breathes that's been created by the Creator.
Put it on them, Cartrell. Put it on them.
So in the 49th chapter of the book of Psalm, who's the author? Who's the author, Yamsu? Yamsu, who tells you who's the author? Your book tell you who the author is?
You said who was the what kind? Who was the author?
The author. Okay. Author. Who wrote the 49th song?
Who was the author? Okay, let me get my glasses. I put them up when I stop reading. Okay. The chief music of Psalm of the Psalms of Korah. We're back to the brothers Korah again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cause you could tell the difference in the flavor. I knew it wasn't King David because he writes a little different.
Right.
But their message is the same as his.
Right.
And their message is to the world.
Right.
So we give thanks and praise to the sons of Korah, who impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to us as well as our king.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hear this, all ye people. How many people? Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. So who are we talking to? We're talking to everybody.
Seems like to me talking to everybody.
They stay both low and high.
Yeah.
Rich and poor together.
Every
about
mission.
The speak of wisdom. And the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. We should take clues from that. Because we should be pursuing wisdom, trying to attain wisdom, trying to partner with wisdom. And how do you get it? You get it through meditation in your heart. And when you do that, you acquire understanding. And we talked a lot about understanding yesterday, I think. We need to understand what's being said, what's been written, so that we can apply it. I will incline my ear to a parable, and that's what we're doing. I will open my dark veins upon the heart. So there's a message in the music, and they put that music in dark veins upon the heart or on musical instruments. Wherefore should I fear the days of evil? You shouldn't fear the days of evil. When the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about, that's when you should fear your own iniquity. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. So it don't matter how much money you got, you can't buy your way out of the judgment, right? Maybe in man's court, you could bribe a judge, but you can't bribe Yah. And people that trust in their wealth, your wealth is not going to bring you salvation in the day of judgment. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. So you can't save your soul with money. You have to be doing the right thing while you're living. That's the message, in order to save your soul. That's the whole object of life, to be preserved, your soul. You want your souls preserved forever because you're aligned with the Creator. And if you're not aligned with the Creator, he says your soul is going to cease forever. That he should still live forever. There it is. And not see corruption. So right there we see the dark sayings about living forever. Can we live forever, Yamsu?
Well, if the Most High restores your soul for his name's sake, you can.
That he should live forever. Not for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. He said that he should live forever and not see corruption. So while you're living, don't corrupt your soul. For he seeth that wise men die, like the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. That's what happens. You can't take your money with you. That's for sure. The inward thought is that their house shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own name.
And they certainly do.
Sir, they certainly do that, don't they?
Who does that? He pointing the finger now. not only does he call land after his own name, but he call the people after his own name. Right? What's your last name? Yamsu. Oh, Ria, you talk about your Hebrew name.
Oh, yep. My Hebrew name?
No. Kilabrew.
Oh, Kilabrew, yep.
Yep. They took people and then named people after themselves.
Well, they named a country that the Most High says he called Ethiopia. They called it Africanus.
Yeah. That's
they called Africa.
Yes.
The Most High calls it the Ethiopia, the whole land. They call it Africa. What that tell you?
Most High breaking them down.
Uh-huh.
They call their lands after their own name.
Hey.
Nevertheless, man being honor abideth not, like the beast that perish. So you ain't better than no better than an elephant or a turtle. Because guess what? We all got to die, right?
Exactly.
He said these people's way, their way is folly. Yet their posterity approved their saying. Yeah, we know their people are all in line with, you know, what they say, their doctrine, constitution, bill of rights, and all that, which they don't really believe. If they're like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume them. Their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. So what you see now ain't going to be in the future. It says, but Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Do you understand what he just said?
Yeah.
For he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. We know the Egyptians try to bury everything with them, right?
Bury slaves alive.
Oh yeah, everything. They try to take everything with them. But sons of Korok say? Well, when he dies, he shall carry away nothing. His glory shall not descend after him. Once you're gone, you're gone.
It's
so while he lives, he blessed his soul. That's what you're supposed to do while you're living. Bless your soul. Don't corrupt your soul. Bless your soul. They're showing you the option. Men will praise you when thou doest well to thyself. Who you got to do it to, Yamsu?
To yourself.
You got to do it to yourself. You got to bless your own soul. You cannot corrupt your own soul.
You
shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not, he's like the beast that perish. Yeah, we got a lot of honorable men, don't we?
Right.
McCarthy, McConnell, Pelosi, Schumer. You're supposed to be honorable people. Biden, Trump. You're supposed to be people of honor. But do they understand? I don't think so. And most I say they're like the beast that die. So they don't know about preserving their soul, that there is everlasting life. So to me, the greatest verse in this whole chapter is 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious. Right? Trying to save our souls, man. And people trying to take their soul.
Exactly.
It says in the 15th verse, but Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. And that's what we're trying to get to. The 9th verse says that he should live forever and not see corruption. But that's the aim, to live forever and not see corruption.
Exactly.
So I would say meditate on this song, because these brothers from the sons of Korah, they dropped the bomb. They're letting you know these are Levites who are close to the Most High, and the Most High dwells with them. We saw Most High chased them out the temple when the temple was built, but that was their place, close to him. So what wisdom they receive, they're imparting it to us. What are they letting us know? That your soul can be preserved forever if you do the right thing while you're living.
So
live right, learn to do good, establish that relationship with your creator, and you may make it, you may be redeemed, your soul may be set aside for salvation.
Exactly. Well, Contrail, Fellow Sue, thank you, Godrea, for bringing us.
Got the message to all people, not just Israel.
Yeah. No, it's true. To all nations.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to Israel. That's why I said to all nations. Ain't nobody going to get past that, okay? All right. Cartrell, fellow students, it's been a pleasure for Cartrell and I to bring y'all's word to you about relationships, the importance of them, and in regards to, most importantly, the relationship with the Elohim, the Almighty. And secondarily, in juxtaposition to that, among the brotherhood, sisterhood, and different nations. Because everybody has a shot, truth be told. Everybody has a shot to connect with Yah and to establish a relationship with him so Yah can restore your soul for his name's sakes. If you are taking care of that soul, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but you should be working on what's right for that soul and doing right to that soul by doing right, by doing what justice called for, what righteousness called for. And that's how you, right, and truth called for. Working on those things, being, let those things being a part of your innate nature, working on that. All right, Katra, do you have any commentary, my dear brother and friend?
So much has been uncovered in what we've read tonight. It's like a lot to meditate on. It's like a smorgasbord of wisdom that we could partake in. But we should, because this is the evil times that we're living in.
You better believe it. You better believe it. But we can do it. We can do it if we follow the blueprint. It's just as simple. Cartrell said it all the time, brothers and sisters, in different nations. It's an open book test. You got to open the book. All right. Cartrell, thank you, my dear brother and friend. Fellow students, thank you. Abiyah, our record keeper, thank you. Little Gregory and Prince and his little brother, thank you. Bree, thank you for getting those young fellows ready, okay? Cartrell, do you have any closing remarks?
Bless the Most High. Bless be his name forever and ever.
Most
and I pray that he looks out for our people and the people that's on the line. I pray that he blesses them, that they receive wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we go along. And we just scratching the surface. We've been through it once.
Amen.
But the more we go over and over it, the more we'll understand, the more it will click, the more it will cling. And the closer we'll get, you know, to our Creator.
And working on your soul. Okay.
No.
All right. All right. We love y'all. May the Most High bless y'all, direct y'all, and order your steps. And we always suggest at the end of all these study sessions, we try to at least, that in order to help facilitate that, we recommend that you get a new heart and a new spirit. King Dawood understood this. And he left the blueprint, how to get that, which is basically to have a contrite spirit and humble yourself and keep it real. Let the Most High know, hey, look here, I have more iniquities than the hairs on my head. I'm lower than a worm. I ain't nothing special, but I just need you. I need you every day, every minute, every hour. Because if I'm on the outside of you, it ain't looking too good and I ain't feeling too good. And I need to be in a working relationship with you. I need to be on the inside. So if you want to be on the inside, take our recommendation, okay? Get rid of that old thinking you got. It ain't working for you. It ain't cute, okay? Working entirely against you. As a matter of fact, you ain't going along with the blueprint. You just making up some other stuff or going along with some other made up stuff somebody else made up. That ain't going to work for you, okay? Well, we love you. You can do it. We can do it. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
your body.